Thank you for listening to this podcast from KX93.5, Laguna's only FM. We invite you to listen to more music and talk on our grassroots non-profit radio station in Laguna Beach, California, from anywhere in the world on kx935.com/listen or on our smartphone apps. But right now, here's that podcast from KX93.5.
Gentlemen, attention.
High Wall City Country Bowl 2 square on your body. Then I'll begin.
Hi, I'm Peter Asher, and this is your full English breakfast. Sausages, baked beans, fried bread, and great music. KX93.5.
Well, you know what? If that doesn't get you grooving on a Sunday morning, I do not know what will. It's KX93.5. It's Lagoon's only FM. Here are. The corner of Port... Goodness me. Corner of Pearl Street and Pacific Coast Highway in downtown Laguna Beach. Glorious here today. I don't know what the weather's like where you are, but it's very beautiful here. If you're listening in Florida, well, we hope you're all right, of course. And if you're in Britain and you don't like the weather, well, just wait 10 minutes and it'll change, as you know. This morning is Full English Breakfast every Sunday. We bring in a Brit, an expat, if you will. Someone who is from those Sceptred Isles and now lives or is staying or something out here in California. We talk from their perspective and they bring in music. And this morning, Arabella Kant is here.
Good morning.
Good morning. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Kant, yes.
Kant, yeah.
Yeah, it's got all sorts of tricks.
It's a very good word. How can I... I've been thinking all night, I've been up all night thinking how am I going to make fun of this?
You have to be very careful on radio, I think. You can't.
In London, they say Kant.
Is that it's Kant. It is Kant. Kant.
Yeah.
Apparently, well, there was an English artist that emigrated, moved to Australia, whose name was Kant.
Right.
Apparently. I don't know any more than that, because my father-in-law, who did all the research, is not with us anymore, but he was the one... Yeah, somewhere. It came from England to Australia, and it was an English artist or something.
Right.
Yeah.
But you've been decanted from the UK. Right.
I have. I've been away from the UK for a long time, 12 years now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I miss it, though, every day.
Do you? I was going to ask you, one of my questions would be, what do you miss about the UK?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I do miss culture is the big number, like art museums and theatre. And
just hold on one second. Mrs. Pickles, come here, please. The dog's here. My wife's in England. Ava's in England, so I've got the dog.
The dog's Pickles, trying to get out of the room.
You can do whatever you want, but you can't make a noise. Hey, come here. Sit down. Yes, I know.
So what do I miss about England? I miss my friends. I miss my family. And I just miss it, you know. I love it here. I love it. And I'd love to have the best of both worlds. I'd like to be able to do a bit of time here and a bit of time in there. Maybe when the kids are a bit older and I can, and I'm really rich.
No, that's right. It's the money, isn't it? Ava and I just went back there. Ava's there now. And I was there for like a week and then she stayed an extra week. I did a gig while I was there and like, so I'm a musician in case people don't know that. And then we went to a wedding. That was the whole point of being there. And I thought that'd be a wonderful thing to just go, come back. You know, it's just too expensive. And time. Because in the United States, we work so hard here.
Yeah.
To get the time off, really.
No, I know. You only get sort of 4 days a year holiday, don't you?
Right. I mean, it does mount up. So, over the 5 years I've worked at the station, I've accrued some time. So, I get to go on vacations a bit.
No, it's hard. I think I don't work because I'm not allowed to work. But I think the holiday here is tricky. You know, I know people start jobs and they get 8 days a year.
Yeah.
In England, you get 24, 25 days
depends
a year
on how long you work for. But yeah, but absolutely.
Amazing.
Yeah. So let's start at the beginning.
All right.
Because we've touched on a load of different things.
Yeah.
Where were you born?
Born in London. Born in Queen Charlotte's Hospital in Hammersmith.
Okay, that does go back to the very beginning, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I really was born and raised in London until I left.
Within the sound of Bow Bells.
Bow Bells. Well, not many because I lived in Pimlico, so there weren't that many Bow Bells around.
Pimlico, that's a place. I've no idea even where that is, but I've seen it on the underground map.
It's a sort of, I think it was for people who couldn't afford to live in Chelsea, but it was quite close. So, and it's, you know, it's a funny neighbourhood, lots of council blocks.
Where is it?
It's like the other side of Victoria Station. If you were sort
It's South Chelsea.
South Chelsea.
Yes.
And you could walk to Chelsea really easily.
Yeah.
But it was, so it was a funny neighbourhood. It was, like it had a little, you know, it's weird. So my local shopping was Elizabeth Street, which is the poshest street. It's just so fancy now, but that's where we used to go to the greengrocer and the butcher. We used to just walk there, so it was it was nice. But I grew up in Pimlico.
I wonder if there's any greengrocers and butchers still on that street.
No, there aren't, because I walked down it the other day. It's all cigar shops and coffee shops and very expensive restaurants and very posh
stuff. I think people forget that about like the King's Road and Fulham Road, those places in Chelsea. They were not particularly posh in the 70s, you know.
No, I grew up, I mean, our local supermarket was on King's Road. You just drive park outside and go and do your
go do your thing. Yeah. Or go to the tube station. I mean, I don't even know what tube station's near there. South Ken, I suppose.
Sloane Square is close.
Yeah. But it was, you know, it just exploded in the 70s, didn't it? That whole Kings Road scene,
yep.
Vivienne Westwood.
Yep.
And
oh my gosh.
Malcolm McLaren. Right?
Nice tie-in. Good link. Well done. Perfect.
This is why I get this is why I get the small books. Yeah. Okay, we're going to play a track by Malcolm McLaren. You've brought music in and I'm grateful.
Good.
For that. It's brilliant. Really good little list here. So we've had Earth, Wind & Fire, Let's Groove. Now we've got another song about dancing.
Oh.
This one's Malcolm McLaren and Waltz, Darling. Tell us why you picked this.
Do you know, I just always love Malcolm McLaren. I've played his music for years and years and I just love it. It just makes me feel happy.
Yeah. He's a groover.
Yeah, he is. He's so cool. He's a brilliant man. Love it.
All right. Malcolm McLaren, famously the manager of the Sex Pistols, and a track called Waltz, Darling. It's KX93.5. It's your full English breakfast with me, Jason Fetty, and Arabella Kant.
Darling. Darling. Waltz with me. Darling. Darling.
So funky, so very 1980s, actually, that song. Malcolm McLaren there, who was the manager of the Sex Pistols. Don't know if people really know that He was also a, if not a musician, he made records anyway. And that was produced by Trevor Horn, who was like the producer of the 1980s, really. We're here on KX93.5 with Full English Breakfast, wherein we talk to people from Britain, and Arabella Kant is here. She's from Pimlico. How come you ain't got that accent then from Pimlico?
Well, you know what? My dad always threatened that he'd send me to the local state school if I didn't do well at school. And I didn't do well at school. I was really bad at school. And he should have sent me to the local state school. Because I probably would have done better if I'd gone to Pimlico Comprehensive, which is a big glass building. And then maybe I would have sounded less posh.
How did you do? You shouldn't be embarrassed about the poshness.
I'm not embarrassed about it. But it's funny because, you know, it comes... Living here, it's great because people think oh my gosh, I love
you. Must
your
be
voice.
The Queen's best friend.
But in the UK, it comes with all sorts of associations. If you speak a certain way, people assume you have lots of money, and you know. And I had it a lot when I was at art school, and I was absolutely on the most full, like, student grant. I had housing benefit. I had all the benefits I could because I had no income. But people would assume that. You know,
haven't times changed?
Meanwhile, I'd actually lived in a stately home somewhere.
Haven't times changed? Because is true that the accent in Britain is not just geographical, but it denotes rank in society.
Completely.
To some degree, anyway.
Yeah.
No, but you went to boarding school. Presumably that's where you're...
That's where I developed my poshness.
Right, so boarding school in Britain, just to explain again, is private school. Public school... Yeah. Is private school school?
Yeah,
yeah. If you call something that's called a public school, is actually a private school.
It's actually a private school. Yeah. So I went to an all girls boarding school when I was 11. My parents divorced.
God, I'm so jealous of you. I'd love to have gone to an all girls private school.
I was desperate to go to boarding school. I used to. I even wrote to Jimmy Savile. Jim will fix it.
Because you wanted to go.
Because I wanted to go to boarding school.
Why was that?
I'd read so many Mallory Towers, Enid Blyton books, where they all had jolly good fun and, you know, lots of midnight feasts. And
tea and crumpets.
Yes. And I thought it sounded amazing. And they always said, no, absolutely not. And then they divorced and couldn't get me out quick enough. And so I was packed off to boarding school. Even though I hadn't done the exams, they managed to get me in. And I hated it. I hated it.
You must have felt that, even though you had begged for it, your parents split up and then you're sent away. This is quite traumatic.
It was very traumatic.
For an 11-year-old girl.
Yeah, it was awful. It really was, actually. And I suffered a lot. I couldn't bear it. And it was very obvious that they'd sent me away because my sisters both came together 4 years later. So I had 4 years on my own. And it was, I have lots of horrible memories of them all going to see the film I really wanted to see, and they'd gone to see it, and I hadn't because I'd been at boarding school. And that was back in the day when you only came home once either side of half term. So, you know, you really were locked up.
Yeah.
In the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, and no way to sort of reach out.
Yeah, you couldn't even make phone calls home.
Is this like the 1970s we're talking about?
Yeah,
or 80s,
I went 70? In 77, 78. I can't remember. Anyway, it's fine. I'm over it now.
No, I'm sure you are, but you're a parent yourself. And, of course, you've had to work through all of that stuff, I'm sure.
Yeah, totally. And I couldn't, the idea of sending my kids off to boarding school just because of what I went through was just abhorrent to me. But, you know, as not to say never. I mean, maybe Alfie, my youngest, might end up going if he doesn't pull himself together.
Right, doesn't take the garbage out, Alfie, if you're listening. Right?
Off to military school.
Yeah, pass on the sins of the grandparents. But they didn't, honestly, it's 1970s was in black and white, man. It was just not, they didn't know what they were doing. I would say
no,
that about
different.
My parents split when I was very young.
Yeah.
And they didn't handle it very well. Certainly as far as the kids were concerned, not much in the way of communication.
Yeah.
Didn't know what to do, didn't know how to say whatever it, they just didn't know what to do, you know.
So true. There's so much more, it's so much more open now. It's much, people talk to kids much more cohesively now.
Yeah, I mean, I hate that. I hate the fact that the word parent has become a verb.
Yeah,
it just gets on my nerves.
Yeah, me too.
Parenting.
Yeah,
really annoys me. But on the other hand, they talk about things. Sometimes I'm watching like TV or I'll read in the paper some discussion about kids. And I'll go, it's like a different world, man. They know how to. At least they're giving it a try.
Yeah. Oh no. I mean, I think back to things, and I think, you know, things I do with my kids or the things I say to them, and I think, gosh, you know, I don't remember my parents telling me they loved me on a daily basis. Maybe they did, but it's, you know, I feel like I'm much more we're much more open than we were, like you say, back then, you know.
Well, you're going to screw your kids up in a whole new way, Arabella, because that's what parents do.
Of course I am. They already are. They're totally screwed.
Actually, I have met and spent a weekend with one of your daughters, yeah. To say, for music in common, Evie, and that's not true.
No, thank you for that.
She's totally cool.
Yeah.
But we're all, you know, our childhoods. I know.
It shapes us. And I don't regret anything. I mean, honestly, it's made me who I am. So it's all good.
Well, that's great to come to that place in your life.
Yeah, totally.
Well, your next song is Common People by Pulp. You're not really Common People. You're definitely a posh bird. But what are you going to do about that?
Well, not a lot I can do about that.
It is what it is, isn't it? Come to terms with your poshness.
But this is it. This... Okay, so just a quick story behind this. Have you put it on already?
No.
So I went to St. Martin's Art School in London after a long kind of roundabout way of getting there. And like I said, I was very poor and I'd had multiple jobs. And one of the jobs I had was I worked in a coffee shop in the graphic design department.
Yeah.
And in the graphic design, we had graphic design, illustration and AV, which is audio visual.
Mm.
And there was a guy that I was friends with from AV called Jarvis.
What are you doing? So audio visual artist, listening to things and looking at
things. I have no idea what it is. I don't even know. But we just call it like AV. Oh yeah, he's an AV.
Right.
And so there was this guy, Jarvis from AV, who was always in the coffee shop.
I know where this is going. There's only one man in Britain called Jarvis.
Yeah, and it's Jarvis Cocker.
Yeah.
And that was that. And he became, you know, Pulp. And I know a lot of Americans don't know Pulp or Jarvis Cocker, but very cool back in the day in England.
He's like an art critic now, isn't he?
Yeah,
does a lot of TV
amazing.
Stuff. He's the Voldemar Januszak, you know, one of those dudes.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that, and then the lyrics of this song are priceless.
Well, I've got to play a little spot first because the British Hair Company sponsors this show.
Okay, you must do that.
Paul and Tracy down there on Coast Highway. Here's a little spot from them, and then we'll play Pulp, Common People on KX93.5.
Napoleon, are you coming to bed?
Not tonight, Josephine. I have an headache. What is that infernal racket?
The British are coming! The British are coming!
Put down your hairdryers and surrender in the name of the British Empire.
The British Hair Company has now relocated to 750 South Coast Highway and taken over management of Paris Salon. The British Hair Company. Passion, energy and excellence through education. 949-497-8345.
God save the Queen!
Watch it climb up. dogs lying in the corner. They will bite you and never warn you, look out. I'll tell you how many songs about. Cause everybody hates a tourist, especially one who thinks it's all just a laugh.
Seems a little patronising now, that. He wants to what? What are you on about? If he really wants to live with common people, or if he's just, you know, a geezer. It's KX 93.5, it's Laguna's only FM. Jarvis Cocker there. Jarvis from Manchester, I think, originally.
I think.
One of those Manchester people.
Yeah. It's funny, because the music scene's not... I don't know, it switches, doesn't it? It was all Manchester for a long time in the 80s, and now it's all London.
It's all Australia around here.
Is it?
Everywhere you go, it's Australian bands, yeah.
Oh, I don't
Tons
know
of Australian music, and doing extremely well. Can't think of one name of one Australian band off the top of my head, because that's, you know, I'm too old.
Lord, is she Australian or New Zealand?
Lord is Australian.
Yeah, there you
I'm
go.
Saying. I have no idea.
I
don't
know, but she's very good. I like her a lot.
It seems to me that... In the general playlist here on KX 93.5, there's a lot of... Every time something comes up, I have to go Google like mad and go, oh, that's so-and-so from Melbourne. Like, I know what I'm talking about. It happens all day long. And 9 times out of 10, I've already said that 2 days ago, and I'd forgotten the name of it because I'm old.
No, well, our memory isn't... I retain absolutely zero information, so I can't hold anything in. I can't even remember anybody's names. I mean, I've lived in Laguna for 7 years... And I've met people through 3 different children, through working out, through walking the dog, through my sister, through all sorts of people. And people go, hey, hi, Arabella.
Yeah.
And I'm clueless.
No idea.
95% of the time, I've no idea who it is.
No, I can't remember names and I can't remember faces and there isn't anything else. That's it. So I can't. And so people, this woman came up to me last night and said, you don't remember me. You know how they say that? You don't remember me, but. And I go... You're right, I don't remember you.
But that is actually a thing. There's a disease if you can't remember that. There's like people...
Some dysphagia thing. It's good, yeah. Yes. You know who had it?
Who?
Was Oliver Sacks.
Yes,
he had it. See, I remember
it.
That.
Yeah, yeah. But
how do I remember that? I never met him.
No, but you've read the book, haven't you?
I've read a zillion books by him.
Yeah.
The Man Who Mistook His Wife for a Hat.
Yeah, that was one of his books. That book.
And Musicophilia. Another good. See, I can remember all this useless, completely useless... Yeah. This is information that will never make anybody feel good. It just makes them think, oh, Jason's a snooty guy who's read books by psychologists. But to say, well, some bloke walks up to you in Ralph's and you go, sorry, man. And he goes, dude. We hung out last night for 6 hours at dinner and you can't remember. And what probably happened was that I lost his name after 2 minutes.
Yep.
Right? And then I was embarrassed in a very British way to ask him, tell us your name again.
No. You know what? And I've tried to teach myself this in the time I've lived here. You have to do it the American way. And Americans are really good at it. And they go, oh, hey, hi, Arabella. Oh, so Arabella. And they'll repeat my name about eight times in their first 5 minutes.
That makes you annoying. Makes you like just an annoying person.
I know, it does make
me repeat my name. I know what you're doing. You don't care. You've no interest in me whatsoever. It doesn't matter, though.
You just want to make me feel small next time you see me, because you know that I'll forget your name, but you'll remember my name.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, the good news is, you know what? It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Cares.
I just say all the time, I'm so sorry, I can't remember your name. Even though I've known you for 5 years. And I count you as one of my best friends.
There's just no way around it. And it's that, and that British thing of being too embarrassed.
Oh, yeah.
So every moment, every day is like another Larry David moment.
Yeah.
Where I just should have just copped to it in the first place.
But isn't that interesting? Because you've been away from England forever.
Mm-hmm. 17 years, I've
been. Yeah, but it just, it's there. It's in us. We can't get rid of it.
Can I tell you a story?
Yeah.
And we should be talking about you, really.
But tell me a story.
Okay,
tell me
so
a story about
I've just
yourself.
Been back in Britain, okay? And I do when I go to Britain, I do a gig. I play songs at a bar. And this is a bar that I played for 15 years, every Sunday. So they know who I am.
Yeah.
In fact, there are pictures on the wall that are like 8x16 big old black and white photographs on the wall framed. There's Johnny Cash, and there's who else is there? There's Little Richard, and there's Elvis, and there's all these famous rock and roll stars, and there's me in a line.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Nice one.
Yeah. So it's, you know, I'm
You're
part
the
of
guy.
The scenery
yeah.
of this place, and I'm honoured, really, that people Absolutely. Feel that way. I'm saying that, but the truth is, I don't really feel honoured. It's just a gig I did every week. But there are people that go there who I loved and still love.
Yeah.
And there are people there that I really never had a conversation with, but they love me because
That's
they
nice.
Love the songs. And That's they grew nice. Up listening to these songs. They grew up listening to me complain about whatever girlfriend I had that particular week in these songs. So just a lot of... Because I have to learn those songs, relearn them to go back, to play the songs I wrote when I was 20.
Yeah, so how often do you...
I go back once a year if I can.
Right, so once you and all your old fans come in...
They're all there.
That's so nice.
Mm.
That's a really good way to kind of see everybody.
I know.
And sing them a song.
And then go away and go home. And it's wonderful to see the people that it's wonderful to see.
Absolutely.
And the ones that it's not, you know, that I don't know...
That's fine. Cause
but it's weird because you've got that fame thing going on,
yeah.
which is tiny in comparison to real fame.
Oh,
I'm not
no.
Little Richard.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not comparing... But in that room,
yeah.
you know, they feel they know me because
yeah.
they've heard me complain about a girlfriend.
I love it. I think
and I'm
really
singing
great.
These songs and I'm thinking... You know, because I'm 52 now, 51 now, and I go, I'm thinking, well, just kick her out if you don't like her. You know, what's wrong with you? Well, you're 20, aren't you? I'm 51. Well,
everything
know.
Is much more...
It's intense.
So intense.
Why am I telling this story? So there's a group of people standing along the bar, and they're very drunk. Mm. They're all very drunk. The whole bar is very drunk. That's the other thing. I don't drink anymore, but they're all absolutely, I mean, bleary
yeah,
drunk,
of course.
Right? So
only the Brits can do.
You know that look when they've got that look in the face, it's completely yeah. some blank look in the face. You know they're not going to remember tomorrow anyway. So this woman comes up to me and she goes, girl, this is going to be, it's a longer story than I thought. But anyway, this girl comes up to me and she goes, hi, do you remember me? No, I don't remember you. I used to come here with my mum when I was 5. No, I don't remember. I'm sorry. But she goes, well, my mum's not well. She's got a brain tumour. Oh, and I go, oh, I'm so sorry. That's horrible. You know, it's shattering, really.
Oh, no.
But she's here. Oh, great. Do you remember her name's Karen? And I go, I couldn't remember. But anyway, she seemed nice. I went over. She was very drunk, this lady. But I went over and I sat with her for a bit. And I said, so I'll do this song. She, will you do a song for me? Yes. But I went, go up on the stage, do the whole set, like an hour and a half, 2 hours singing. And then I remember to do this song. And I go, and I've got to dedicate this song to Kathy.
Oh, God.
Right?
Oh,
well, there was a scene because they're all drunk and now they're upset and they're annoyed with me.
Oh.
The younger one, the one that was 5,
yeah.
but they're annoyed with me and it's clearly not a very, it's awkward, very
oh,
awkward.
Oh, man.
So I had to go and apologise and blah-de-blah. I spent my life apologising
oh,
to people.
Oh, gosh. And you're just trying to do the you right know. Thing and that 51-year-old brain all befuddled.
I should get a T-shirt and it would be horrible to get a T-shirt, really, that says, I'm sorry I don't remember you.
Yeah.
I may have been drunk at the
yeah.
time.
Yeah, or just... Yeah. I'm old.
Mm. Speaking of being old,
yeah.
back in the 70s and 80s, Britain had a wealth of terrible sitcoms.
Oh, but so
changing
good.
The, changing
so
the
good
subject
for remembering.
To get to the next
yeah, well
thing.
Done.
Yeah.
Which isn't even really why I picked this song, by the way, but you brought that up.
It is a theme tune from an old comedy.
Yeah.
A comedy, though, written by a brilliant writer, Carla Lane, who wrote, like, The Liver Birds. Remember The Liver Birds?
God. What was the song? What was the song they sang? Oh, so good.
I don't know.
God, it was brilliant.
It was about two women who lived in a flat together in Liverpool.
Yeah.
And now the thing I remember most about this was their parents were in it. It was a bit like Seinfeld, that, you know, periodically you'd see the parents of the main characters. And one of the women's dads drove a bus.
Liverpool.
And he would park the bus outside the house at the end of the night. Such clever writing.
Isn't that brilliant?
He didn't leave it at the depot.
No. No, why would he? Why would he? You just park outside his daughter's house.
Well, that tells you there was no traffic at the back in those days.
Oh,
you know,
God, yeah.
Plenty of space to park a bus. Marvelous. So this was Butterflies. Tell us why.
Okay, so the reason that I picked this song is because my mum, who's not with us anymore, was a complete butterfly person. She loved butterflies. I don't actually know what it was, why she loved them so much.
It was a family drama.
No, not the TV program.
No,
actual butterflies. Real butterflies.
Sorry, I was trying to remind you of the plot.
Can't remember why.
She liked butterflies.
She loved butterflies. Oh. So she had.
Did she collect actual butterflies? Or
no, she didn't. But she had lots of paintings of butterflies, and she had, you know, silk blouses with butterflies on them, and she just loved butterflies.
She sounds like a lovely lady. I had an aunt Eileen who loved bells. She had everything bells.
Bells.
Collected bells.
Ding-a-ling
bells.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah, and paintings. And
Well, my mum, it was butterflies, and I've got a couple of...
obsession, really, isn't
it? Yeah, it is. And just beautiful, lots of beautiful ones. But when she died, we had this little tiny thing at the crematorium. She was cremated. And we had a couple of songs we had. And these were the two that I was trying, because I wanted to play a song for my mum. It was either going to be Christa Burr, Lady in Red.
Oh, I hate that song.
I know. I was like, I don't really like the song, but it always reminded me of her. And then Love Is Like a Butterfly, which we played that as well at her cremation. And it was, and so this is for my mum, but it's for my sisters, because this is the song that we always think of when we think of my mum.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, this, you know, if you'd have sent me the name Lady in Red, I may have said, can we find
can
something
we not
else?
Play that?
But this is tremendous. And it was the theme tune for a really cool early sitcom in Britain. It's called Love Is Like a Butterfly. Arabella Kant is here on KX 93.5. It's Full English Breakfast. We're just chatting. That's all we're doing. And and playing music that Arabella has picked to play on the show. This is Dolly Parton on KX 93.5.
Butterfly as soft and gentle as a sigh, the multicolored moods of love like its satin wings. Love makes your heart feel strange inside, it flutters like soft wings in flight. Love is like a butterfly, a rare and gentle thing. I feel it when you're with me, it happens when you kiss me. That rare and gentle feeling that I feel inside. Your touch is soft and gentle, your kiss is warm and tender. Whenever I am with you, I think of butterflies. Love is like a butterfly, the multicolored moods of love like its satin wings. Love makes your heart feel strange inside, it flutters like soft wings in flight. Love is like a butterfly, a rare and gentle thing. Your laughter brings me sunshine, every day is springtime. And I am only happy when you are by my side. How precious is this love we share, how very precious, sweet and rare. Together we belong like daffodils and butterflies. Love is like a butterfly, as soft and gentle as a sigh. The multicolored moods of love like its satin wings. Love makes your heart feel strange inside. heart is like soft wings in flight. Love is like a butterfly, a rare and gentle thing. Love is like a butterfly, a rare and gentle thing.
Beautiful. Love is like a butterfly on KX93.5. That's the theme tune from the 1980s, I think.
I don't know.
Be a late 70s.
I think it was late 70s.
Sitcom, yeah.
Yeah. With Wendy Craig.
Yes, Jeffrey Palmer and Nicholas Lyndhurst.
Just household names.
Now they are, yeah.
Yes.
Huge.
Oh, my God. I can hear their voices. I can absolutely hear them. I'm going to have to go home and YouTube.
Nicholas Lyndhurst was a drip.
Oh, completely.
Total drip. But she was, Wendy Craig, the mother, was she was constantly contemplating adultery. That was the whole show.
That older sort of, that man. He was
that
an old
man.
That man. That older man who lived in the big house, the manor house.
Typical. Punching above her weight, she was.
Oh, honestly, Wendy, go back to your suburban house.
He led her on, he did. Yeah. But no, early kind of... it was quite a thing to sort of an issue to touch upon, really, I suppose.
It's very modern.
Back in the day there.
Very modern of them.
Yeah, totally. So Arabella Kant is here. She is, you're a graphic designer, aren't you?
Really? I am a graphic designer by trade.
But you're not allowed to work while you're here.
No, I'm not.
Let's talk a bit about that whole transition from one place to another, because you went to Australia first.
Yep. So, I mean, I've been all over, and my husband, James, is Australian, and after we got married, we moved to Australia. We lived in Melbourne, and then we lived in Sydney. Then we went back to
England. What was James doing in England?
He arrived in England because he followed his girlfriend, who then dumped him.
Oh, it happens a lot, that.
A shame.
Yeah.
and I think he was, you know, he's a photographer, so he was taking pictures. And I met him just as I finished art school, literally just like my last 6 months. So it was quite nice because I didn't have a whole lot going on. So we hung out a load. And we got married, moved to Australia. Lola was born in Australia, then went back to England. Evie was born in England, then went back to Australia. So 10 years in England, back to Australia. We were there for 5 years, and then we came here.
This something that was kind of, was it quite shocking to your family that you were moving around like that? Or you sort
it was
quite
shocking to me.
Oh.
I mean, I really, and honestly, Australia was never somewhere that I had any big desire to go and visit, so... it was quite strange that I ended up living there twice. And I love it. It's really, really great. I like Australia a lot. It's just very
far. Do you know, I've never been. And it's fascinating to me.
You should go. Australia.
I will go one day,
yeah.
It's
easy from here. It's not that far, really. I don't know. I'm not really sure what people thought about it. Because I never expected that I'd be going and living in different countries. I never thought I'd live in America. I mean, I lived here when I was 19 for 2 years, completely illegally. But that gave me my foot up on the, being a graphic designer. I went to UCLA extension classes.
Oh, cool. So you didn't just waste your time here?
No, I did not. I worked full time, and then I would get the bus to UCLA every night with all the Mexican house cleaners.
Yeah. Because
obviously it goes through Beverly Hills. I lived in West Hollywood. And I did my, yeah. So anyway, so then now I'm back here. We're here. James has a visa. He has an artist visa,
yeah,
which means that the rest of us can be here.
But you can't work.
No, nor can the kids. So we're all legal aliens. In fact, Lola is 21 and she's now just a tourist. She's not on our visa anymore. So she literally just doesn't belong. Like, she comes here and she's visiting.
But she could work in Australia, presumably.
And the UK.
Right, they have an agreement
citizen
thing, right?
Well, they have two passports.
They have two passports, I see. I have a friend... I've not seen her in a while, actually, but she's British, lived in Australia for a long time, had a daughter here, never told the daughter that she's illegal.
What?
So when she turned 18 and wanted to drive, or 17, wanted a driver's license, there was a whole shenanigans. Finally had to tell the kid, well, actually, you can't have a driver's license, 16.
Oh,
well,
my goodness.
Yeah. They went to the DMV and somehow they managed to...
You can get a driver's license.
Yeah, she managed
you
to schmuffle
it. You can't get a social security number,
right, yeah.
Mm. So, yeah, so Lola had a driver's license, but that was revoked when her visa was revoked. So she doesn't have a driver's license now. She's not allowed to drive.
It's insanity, isn't it?
Oh, it's so ridiculous.
Crazy.
It's very frustrating, yeah.
I don't know if the Dream Act covers you guys.
Well, I think the Dream Act would cover Evie and Alfie.
Right, because they are, that's right.
They, yeah, would because they think, I think it would cover them, not Lola, because she was only 4 years here, and I think you have to be five. But you also have to go to university in California, and none of them, well, Lola and Evie, neither of them wanted to
No, wow.
No.
Well, you should be able to do what you want to do, shouldn't you?
Oh, it's crazy. Wow. We'll sort it out. Hopefully we'll get it figured out in the next few years.
I would have thought they're your anchor babies.
No, because they weren't
Doesn't
born
work.
Here.
Right. God, you really made a mistake there.
I know, I should have had another baby. Honestly. Oh, God.
Well, there's still time.
Only 50. I think I can get another one in.
Come on. Get on with it. Where's James?
Oh, my God. Oh, it makes my skin crawl.
Yeah, you don't want to do it. Done
no
it already.
Way.
Been
Wait,
there.
Yeah, can't do that again.
Fantastic. You went to Australia and then moved here.
Yeah.
It's quite exotic, but as you say, for most Brits, I think America isn't the sort of be-all and end-all anymore. It was when I was growing up, because America was America.
Oh,
we live in a post-American society.
Yeah. I absolutely, more than anything, wanted to come to America and go to Disneyland growing up. I just wanted to do that so much. And, you know, it's interesting, because I do think that America is the land of opportunities. I think you can really do anything here. I do think that there's a lot you can do here that it's hard to do in other places. So,
well, I could never make a living in Britain, so...
No.
So that I've made a living here, which
yes,
is, you know...
there we go.
There you have it.
Okay, so, yeah. So I just... No, I think that it is... You can say, hey, you know what? I want to become a... blah, blah, whatever it is.
Right.
I think there's more... Maybe because it's bigger and there's so many schools. I don't know. I feel like there's just opportunities here. I don't know. I mean, it could be... I obviously have none because I'm not allowed to work.
Right,
I've just become,
say,
like, a super volunteer.
But would you like to go back to... I mean, are you working on that whole thing of visas and whatever?
Yeah, I mean, I do a lot of work, actually. I work at the museum. I curate the shop there, and I'm on the board at No Square Theatre. And James and I are just starting up a new business, which will be launched hopefully within the next few weeks. So, you know, that's a business. So, you know, I'm not quite sure how legally that works, but... We will, yeah.
You'll figure it out. What's the business? What are you going to be doing?
Men's swimwear.
Really?
Yes.
Trunks
for gentlemen who'd like to swim.
Mm.
They're very nice. They are very nice. Yeah, they are going to be, hopefully they're going to be...
Well, there's a big old ocean out there. There's a need for it.
Yeah, there is. Exactly. Everyone needs... They're more high end.
Well,
so
sure
I don't know
are.
How many...
You're from Pimlico, after all.
I don't know how many of the local... surf dudes are going to be wanting to fork out for them.
Why not? I think
you never
it's a
know.
Great idea.
Yeah, no, so it's exciting. It is exciting. So that's what's going on with us for the next bit.
Yeah. Oh, well, cool. So, you know, you're active and interested in life, and
yeah,
that's great.
Always got stuff going on.
Well, listen, we never talked during the last song. We never talked about what we should play next.
Oh, okay.
So we could do, like, to throw like a spanner in the works, we could do Richard O'Brien or Nigel Kennedy.
Oh, let's do Richard O'Brien.
All right. So we got a track here. Well, I'll play it and then we'll talk about it afterwards. It's Full English Breakfast with Arabella Kant, me, Jason Feddie. We're just chatting and talking about being British and what it is to be British in America.
Androids fighting, brand Georgie Carroll was over a barrel when Tarantula took to the hills. And I really got hot when I saw Jeanette Scott fight a triffid that spits poison and kills. Dana Andrews said prunes, gave him the runes, and passing the muse lots of skills. But when worlds collide, said George Powell to his bride, I'm gonna give you some terrible thrills. Like a science fiction.
Richard O'Brien there on KX 93.5, Laguna's only FM. It's Full English Breakfast and it's almost over, but I've been talking to Arabella Kant, who picked that song from any millions of songs she could have picked in the whole world.
And I just found out that you've never seen a Rocky Horror Show. It's just I can't believe it.
You know who probably loves it, and I don't know this for sure, but probably my wife probably loves that kind of thing. Because she loves that whole sort of the gay culture of everything. Yeah. She's into all of that, you know. I'm playing Nigel Kennedy in the background because we're not going to get to it.
Oh, shame. I know. A little bit of classic.
I know. So, and people don't generally suck that in
because we used to listen every Sunday. We had classical music going in the house. And so I thought I should, after listening to Tori on the radio, I thought, oh, I should put something a bit more cultural on. It's your fault, Victoria.
Never mind.
Johnson.
Nobody's fooled by the accent. So Arabella Kant been here 12 years in the United States.
No, 7 years here, 12 years away from the UK.
Right.
7 years here.
What do you miss the most? You said culture. What is it about culture that you miss?
I do just miss going to museums and galleries and looking at art, and I miss going and getting decent food.
You can do that here, you know.
You can do it here.
So what is it that's so different?
Oh, gosh, it's hard to...
You can go to LA anytime.
You can.
It's on the road.
I know, but it isn't really, is it? I mean, if you go at 5 o'clock in the morning, it's just up
go
the road.
Go camp out the night
if
before.
If you try and go, you can't even go for a day. With my good friend George Dubin, we go up and look at art.
Oh, I saw him yesterday at the kitchen in the canyon. I always see him there. Eventually, we're going to have a conversation.
Oh, he's such a nice man. Yeah, he's great. But I do go to LA, but not as Dick, and I do get that hit. But, you know, I think I just miss London because it's London and it's my home. And it's so familiar and it's different, you know.
I was going to say, London isn't London anymore.
No,
it's very different now.
And changed, and it's got, I think, for the better. It went through a bit of a surge, you know. It's great.
Coming back.
Yeah, it is.
A lot of cities in England are doing that, actually. Leeds, where I'm from, is very cool now, cultural.
Yeah,
certainly never was when I was growing up.
No, I know. It's for the good. I mean, it's great. You know, you go and it's completely different. It all feels safer. It's a bit like going to New York now, you know. It's different.
Yeah, it's got a good vibe. Well, you know, that could be your outlook. As
maybe.
You've grown into yourself.
Maybe.
And had kids and been a person in the world.
Yep.
And probably not as fixated on BS as you were 30 years ago.
Well, definitely not as fixated on BS as I was that long ago. But, you know, it's It's, and you're much more, yeah, you just sort of stop and think about things a lot more. But I do spend a lot of time thinking, could I live back in London? Would I? And, you know, I would love to have a place there that I could...
Yeah, but you need billions of pounds.
You do. You need, no, I, you know, every now and then I pretend and I go online and look. And for a two-bedroom ex-council flat in London, you know, it's like it's £500,000.
Right, they say that it's the most expensive real estate.
It's
so
ridiculous.
If you, and I saw a thing recently that there was there's a very small studio flat in Kensington. And there's a trash can built into the wall of the kitchen. So I forget what the price of the actual flat was, but the trash can, if you whittled it down and worked out the square footage and blah blah,
yeah,
the trash can was worth £100,000.
Nice.
Yeah, most expensive trash can in the world.
Ridiculous.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
I wish we had another hour.
I could chat for ages. I'll come back next week.
You can come back another time for sure, really.
Yeah.
Especially if you've been on a trip back to England. I'd love to hear your thoughts about...
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, I'm going beginning of October to go to Frieze Art Fair, so I can come back after that.
Love to have you back. Mm,
thanks, Jason.
What's happened here is, and you don't really care about this, but the hour has switched over because we've talked too long. And what that means is that the song that I was going to play last isn't there anymore.
Oh.
It was Joy Division.
That is annoying.
Division. I'm just typing it in.
Can you get it back?
Was, yeah, I'm doing it now. But I can't. I have to sort of, you know, talk about it while I'm doing it. It's really boring for the listener.
Oh, no. Well, I'll tell the listeners why I've picked Joy Division.
Please do, if you would.
No reason other than this is so reminiscent of my early teens, my 15, 16, 17 year old Arabella. This is, I listen to it.
Love
a
will
lot.
Tear us apart. So, you know, that, like I say, fixated on.
And every song had so much meaning when you're that age. Like, everything. Yeah, it all was all.
Are you
relevant.
Seeing this all again with your older?
No, they're much kid. More together.
How's
than
Evie with all this, with that whole thing?
Well, Lola and Evie, amazing, completely different from them than I was. I mean, Evie writes her own incredible songs, so she puts all her heartbreak down into books, and she has songs, so many songs. And Lola is just very clear, focused, and, you know, doesn't suffer fools gladly, and doesn't... She's just not as emotional as I was as a teenager. She's much more together. I don't know, I think my girls... And my son, obviously, but my girls particularly are very level-headed.
Testament to your job, my dear.
All
and the fact
me,
that,
obviously.
Well, I would say 50% your husband.
I'd no, like I'd to say think. It was 90% me.
Well,
no,
you can
no,
have that
James.
Discussion
I'll
later.
Give you that, James.
But you know, I know, and no disrespect to anybody, your father or mine, but you stayed together, and that really counts.
Yeah.
All right, brilliant. Thanks for being
Jason.
Here.
Thank
Next
you.
Week, I forget who's coming in, but it's going to be great. This is KX 93.5.